Did you ever have a fallback plan?
That's an interesting question.
This is Marina Sanders, head editor of The Horizon, speaking with Martha Coolidge.
I'm Martha Coolidge. I'm from the Northeast, and I'm a film director. When I was a kid, we'd get all the kids from the neighborhood together, and I certainly tended to tell everyone what they were doing, and I'd give everyone their parts and, you know, what they should do. And it's probably because my father made amateur movies, and he'd always tell us what we were doing.
Yeah.
So I think that's why, but it was natural because I was the oldest of our family, and it just sort of fell to me. The biggest challenge was being a woman. And I couldn't do anything about that. I am a woman, so what am I going to do? And I kept working at it. I believed in it. I believed I was a director. And gradually, somehow, I actually convinced people. And that was good. So it worked. And that was really, and still is, the biggest thing, because no matter what, it's not the easiest thing for people in Hollywood to... There is a prejudice. There's no question.
Would you say, in your opinion, that it's looking a little better?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely better. There are women being hired. There are requests for women. And that's a really good thing. I'm very, very pleased about that. And hopefully it will get people over this.
And what brought you to Bellingham this weekend?
This weekend has been a fantastic experience to be invited up here for the Cascadia Women's Film Festival. And I just love it. I think there's a whole bunch of very interesting women directors up here and a great support group from the public.
Yeah, Bellingham's very known for its artistic support community. It's really
very artistic. It's terrific. It reminds me of my...
Yes, no?
Maybe. Yeah.
Kind of touching on your parents, were they very supportive of you wanting to be a director?
Well, my father died when I was young. And my mother was supportive, but on the other hand, she didn't really know what it meant. I mean, she sort of knew what directors did, but...
Yeah.
She was supportive of us being in the arts and stuff like that.
In your words, can you describe the job of being a director? I know that you kind of talked about how you've had... Sound experience, acting experience. You kind of need to know a bit about technology. There's a lot to it.
Well, there is a lot to it. On the other hand, you're essentially the main storyteller. You are the storyteller. So the whole center spine of the story rests on your back. And you could do that well even without a lot of technology knowledge or other things. But you do need to kind of understand the story that you're telling. That's important. And then from there, the characters and the people. And the story usually comes from the main character.
We got to see your newest film, I'll Find You, which is set in Poland and was filmed in Poland.
Yep.
How did you start that project? How did that project find its way to you?
You know, years ago, I was approached by Fred Roos, who was one of Francis Coppola's producers. And he said, we want to meet you, come to the Sherry Neville and meet us. I didn't know it was with Francis, but I found out. And they said they'd seen one of my films and they really liked it. And they wanted to interview me because they wanted to bring a woman into Zoetrope. And after they met me, they liked me, and they said, we want you to come. On the other hand, we have to go back to the Philippines to finish Apocalypse Now. So I still came to Hollywood and all that. And then when they came back, we all got together, and then I started developing a film at Zoetrope.
Did you bring the project to Zoetrope? Or
no, they brought the project to me, and... Then we found another one together, and then finally another one together. So it was the third one that I went on and developed for quite some time, but I still never made the film.
What about I'll Find You?
Well, the financier grew up in Poland, and his father was there for this whole experience.
Wow.
And he had promised his father he would make a film about Poland. And he had a very strong, you know, emotional attachment to it and stuff. But he would tell me stories and stories and stories. And I read a script that had been written for him, and it was just huge, huge, way too huge. You couldn't make it into a movie. But in there was a love story, and I said, you know what, that's really interesting, doing a love story set during World War II in these. I wrote it out. I simplified it, wrote it, and gave it to the financier, and they approved it, said that's good.
Did you... is that what kind of made you fall in love with telling this tale?
Well, it was the right way to do it. I thought it was a great way to approach it. And so I approached David Ward to come in and rewrite the script, because the writer was Bo, who was one of the producers. And she wrote well, and it was good, but it was huge. And she's not a native English speaker, so... David was very interested. He'd never quite written something like this, and I had a wonderful time working with him.
Do you have any mentors or people who inspired you to be either director?
You know, every director
or...
I like inspires. So, Francis inspired me. Scorsese inspired me. Every director. All the European directors I love. So, lots of people inspire me. And you try to do what you do very well, and you try to find out who you are, because you don't want to be just like somebody else. You want to be you.
Yeah.
And it's your story, and that's the important part.
And it has been an amazing story. Is there any insight you can give onto the willpower that you kind of kept up in continuing your journey and maintaining directing?
I have a great conviction that I am a director, so I had a conviction to show that I was.
So there's nobody could tell you no.
Yeah. I mean, it's occurred to me, oh, I'm going to have to give this up. But you have to be willing to own that, and I'd own it. But then I'd say, no, I can't stop now. And, I think it's important to fall in love with what you're doing and tell the story.
Did you ever have a fallback plan?
That's an interesting question. Did I ever have a fallback plan? Not really.
I feel like I've heard that quite a bit from especially people who do achieve their dreams. This is all I've known. This is all I've wanted to be.
Yeah, I mean, I was willing to make a fallback plan. But I don't think I ever went there.
Nothing ever sounded as good.
Yeah, not really.
So as a student of Whatcom Community College, I feel like what students would like to know is the process of becoming a director and getting jobs for directing.
Well, I don't know that any director can tell you how to get a job exactly, but you can... you go through the process of meeting people all your life. And the other thing you do all your life is pitch. And pitching is telling stories, telling the stories that you want to tell. So you have to get used to telling those stories and or pitching yourself as a director. And that's very important. And you're usually hired on an interview. I mean, that's really... you know, they like you, so they hire you. But it is hard to say why one person picks you. I don't know.
Can you tell me a bit about your first job?
As a director?
Yeah. That you were hired for.
Well, my first job... was more because I made films in college, in a way. Those were my first jobs, and they were for projects that were assigned to you at college, and then I developed the idea, developed the story, pitch it, pitch how I was going to do it, then do it. And that's very much like the professional process that you go through to get a job. So you get used to it. I'm trying to think what my first... I got a job to direct a documentary about kids going to an open school, which means a school where they get jobs. And certain teachers are guiding them and whatnot, but they're in high school and they're, say, learning how to be an assistant to a lawyer or other things. And that's a really interesting... It's a really interesting film and filled with very interesting, self-motivated people. And, of course, those are the kind of people who really make it in film. So when I meet students that are not self-motivated, who aren't passionate about their need to make films, I really push them a little to get there, because if they don't get there, I don't see how they're going to really succeed. Because you really have to make your opportunities yourself, and or sell yourself, one or the other.
Would you say that college and schooling really prepared you for the process of being a director?
Yes, I would say so. Especially since it makes you go through all the different processes that you need to do. You know, make a budget. How are you going to do this? In what order? You know, how do you make it? How do you estimate the price of each step?
Are there any traits or other skills you would encourage, even classes, you would encourage aspiring directors to seek out or develop?
Well, I think the best thing is to really learn to speak to other people and to really speak your mind. You really do need to know who you are and what story you're telling. What are you trying to tell people? And if you don't understand it, it's incredibly hard to think you're going to make other people understand it. So I would say the first part of film school, aside from the technical stuff, is learning how to speak your mind.
Awesome. Just kind of into the projects that you have done, how do you feel about movie remakes and the remake on Valley Girl?
Well, I'm very flattered if they want to make a remake. On the other hand, mixed, because if it really, really worked and it was really special, why are they remaking it? And so it's mixed. You don't own it.
Yeah.
So I can't say. So it's mixed. Because if I think they're not doing a good job, it's painful.
So, are there any more? You were the first female president of the Directors Guild Association. Are there any more glass ceilings that you would like to break during your career?
Well, I would say big budgets, glossy action movies, the big Hollywood movies are still certainly a little out of reach, generally, for directors like me. Doesn't mean I couldn't do them, of course, but that is one of the holdbacks. And it's annoying. All these things are very annoying to directors because we don't want to do the same movie over and over.
Yeah.
We don't want to do that. Nobody does, I don't think.
You have done quite, I feel like, a broad scope of films, documentaries, romance films, cult classics. Now, this one, even though it would be classified as a romance as well, it's more historical.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are there any other genres you haven't touched on that you would like to?
Wow, thank you, Jen. Mm-hmm. I love sci-fi. I love sci-fi because, to me, if it's real sci-fi, it gets to the core of the questions we ask ourselves. Who are we? Why are we here? What are we doing here? And that, to me, those are important questions. and particularly important when you're a certain age. Probably get more important even as you get older. So I really like that. And I love sci-fi. It's like history, you create a world. And those rules define how the people think and what they do. And so you're sort of inventing the science and the sociology of the time. And I love that. And it's usually a question of what is human. And that to me is a big question. And I love the sci-fi that asks that question. So I think that, what is the movie that I just adore it, that Ridley Scott did? What the heck? It'll come to me. You know the name?
What Happens to Me?
What? Well, there's sort of the robots, and they're hunting them down and killing them. Because they were created...
Oh, iRobot?
No.
That wasn't it.
Blue... Oh, it'll come. Anyway, it's a great movie, and I love it. And it's been recut and recut and recut. I love every cut, but I love the last cut. He finally sort of really put it back to the way he wanted it. It's only one of my favorite. This is why I hate when people say, "What's your favorite movie?" And you're sitting there like a total idiot. No. That was good. Those clams. They were very clammy. That was good.
Bellingham has really good seafood.
Pardon me?
Bellingham has great seafood.
Really, really has great seafood.
Well, it's the place to be for it.
I love seafood. I'm from New England.
I read that you were born in New Haven. I was born in Bridgeport.
I grew up in
Fairfield until I was 9.
Here, by switching the script, which was written for Connecticut, into Seattle.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It was great. And these trees, love them. Love them. And the same people, very similar kind of artistic people, like Connecticut.
Could you tell me a bit about the job of being a director and having a family?
Well,
is that a challenge?
Well, of course it is. But it depends. I mean, to me, I come from a big family, and I was the oldest, and my father died. So I took over this role of sort of mother and father, and that was natural. And then, you know, it's a very natural thing to be that way toward the people you work with. And I don't find it... problem, but it does mean you put less time into each thing. And for my son, he always hated when I went to work. But I took him, I had my nanny come to work and always go on location. So, and that lasted until he was about 8 when he opted to stay and see his friends. And, if you really know that you want to do your career, it's a part of who you are, then it isn't unnatural to give time to it. On the other hand, if you start resenting the time you're taking to do it, then you know something isn't working.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. So it's... But I think you try and blend it together as much as possible, and you make your film friendly to it, you know, and to other people. When I first worked with my cameraman, who I did 13 movies with, his wife and I were nursing in the, you know, little room nearby as he's lighting. So, you know, it's just little things like that. But it isn't easy.
Civilization is kind of transferred from this role of women being just house mothers and to careers and having a family. It's kind of been put on specifically women to focus on raising your children and aspire your dream.
You have to say, that's my job. And you do both. going to get a nanny who's good, because you can't be there all the time. And somebody said to me, you know, a working mother's partner has always been guilt that you're not there all the time. I don't think I could have handled it, though. I needed to make movies. You know, so that's what you do.
And kind of my last question is, do you have any other advice for aspiring female directors?
Well, my feeling is that as you get into it and as you tell stories, learn the technology, you're going to find out if you're really a director. You have to not mind making your own mind up about what you're doing, because you can't be doing what anybody tells you to do. That's not really what the job is. And you have to be inspired by certain stories and inspire others telling them those stories. And you have to not be bothered about being alone doing it, because you are alone. And you can have friends and all, but you're alone. And that, I think, is something that you either take to or you don't. So try it. Do it. Learn to tell stories. Learn to pitch them. Learn how to make a film. Get it financed and go ahead and make it and see what happens. See how much you like it. You may like it better than you know. And you may not. It's not something that you can just describe and tell people what it's like, because it's really different for everybody.
Yeah. Well, that's all the questions that I had.
Does that answer your questions?
Yeah. No, that was perfect.
Okay.
Is there anything else you'd like to say to the Whatcom Community College student body?
Well, there are so many jobs, creative jobs, and helping jobs, working jobs in the film business, that if you actually end up not being a director, there are lots of other really great jobs, and you kind of can fall into them, which include everything from makeup and wardrobe and props and everything. There's so many things that you can find yourself fascinated by and looking into, because everything is complicated. From clearing the rights to songs to anything, it is filled with jobs and people who enjoy working with others and clearing rights or anything. There are many, many jobs, and you can transition from one job to another also. So I think just because you may not be a director in the end, that doesn't mean you're not going to be a wonderful creative person in film.